Heavenly Father, you are a God who is present for us, a God who loves us, a God who wants to meet our very need, God who looks at us as children and knows himself to be our Father. Help us this day to realize that relationship more deeply than we have ever before. Help us to trust in you about all things that we experience in this world, and help us to know that you will be there to fulfill those needs. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. How many of you ever have worries or anxieties? You know, it's funny, I got to ask you a question. What are you attached to more? Your worries and anxieties, or the prayers that you use to address those worries and anxieties? Which is more powerful, those worries and anxieties, or the prayers that you make about those worries and anxieties? Which do you spend more time with? This is where I'm meddling. Which do you spend more time with, your worries and your anxieties, or your prayers? You know, it's interesting because the gospel that we have today is a story of the gospel where Jesus teaches his disciples the Lord's Prayer. We say it every week. You know it inside and out. You might not know the version that was in the insert, but yeah, know the general gist of it. It says very clearly that Jesus is out praying. He's out praying, and his disciples see him praying. They wait till he's done. And then one of them looks at Jesus and says, "Teach us to pray the way John taught his disciples to pray." They see in Jesus praying something that they want. They wouldn't be asking him if it wasn't sort of something that was attractive to them. They wouldn't be asking that at all. They seek something that they want. And Jesus' response is very simple. He says this: "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.'" At that point, he ends. Now, I'll be real honest with you. Those who've come from a Roman Catholic background, you know, this proves that the Roman Catholic Church is probably closer to the original scripture, at least in this regard, than any other denomination, because that's where the Roman Catholics stop, too. We, you know, add the little doxology on to the end of it. That's not in the Bible, by the way. But Jesus gives specific words. Is that sufficient? Is that all you need? Is specific words? That if you pray those prayers, that somehow, you know, in a way, if you pray, "Our Father who art in heaven," and you cross your arms and go like this, it comes true? I don't think so. If that was the case, I'd have been fine years ago. He gives specific words, but the words are, in a sense, a model of how you are to call upon God the Father, how you are supposed to understand God the Father, how you are supposed to understand yourself and your responsibility in relationship to God the Father. But they are words that, without an understanding of relationship, they're nothing more than an incantation. It's interesting because Jesus doesn't stop his teaching. The teaching that he gives beyond this, after the words of the Lord's Prayer, I think, is the bulk of the real teaching about the Lord's Prayer. Because what does he say? "Which of you, if you had a friend, and he comes to you, you come to him at midnight, and you say, 'Look, I had a friend traveling, and he arrived at midnight, and I got to feed him, and I need 3 loaves of bread.' Which of you," you know, I mean, what if the guy says to you, "Well, look, my door is locked, the kids are in bed with me, the animals are in, you know, everything's shut down, the lights are off. If I get up, I'm going to disturb all this. I'm not going to do it." And then he says very clearly in this analogy, Jesus says, You know what? If the friend won't get up just because he's a friend, he'll get up because you're going to be persistent in trying to get it. And then he jumps right into, you know, seek and you'll find, ask and it'll be given to you, knock and the door will be open to you. And then he goes into another analogy, doesn't he? He goes into the analogy of, you know, which of you, if a child came to you and said to you, give me a fish, that you'd give him a snake. And which of you, that if somebody came to you, and your child, and said, give me an egg, you'd give him a scorpion. And Jesus ends it with, so that if you, who are evil, can give good gifts, how much more can the Heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit that you need? Now, let me make something clear here. When he says, you that are evil, he's not calling us evil. He's using an analogy again of comparison. In other words, in comparison to God, who's holy, we may be evil. But he's not saying we're evil. Otherwise, he wouldn't say, you know, pray the prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Because if our Father is holy, then, well, to tell you the truth, we got to have a little bit of holiness in ourselves. And so he's using it as a comparison in the same way as the fish and the snake, the egg, and the scorpion. Now, why does he do that after he gives the words? I think it's because the main teaching that is in this scripture is this. He wants you to know who he is, who the Father is, and he wants you to pray to him, not with just having the correct words, but rather with having the right relationship. You see, I think in my life sometimes, the reason why sometimes I pray perhaps even all the right words, but for some reason I don't get the result that I want, where I find that peace that passes all understanding, it's because I might have prayed the right words, but somehow I didn't really fully conceive of the nature of God the way it was supposed to be at that moment. And that's the real question here. Do you really know God in the fullness of his nature? You know, if you know God in the fullness of his nature, you know that he's going to forgive you. If you know God in the fullness of his nature, you know he's going to be there for you and he's going to meet your daily needs. If you know God in the fullness of his nature, then you know that, yeah, he's holy, which makes you at least a little bit holy, and he's going to be with you, and he's not going to lead you into a time of trial. That if you get into that time of trial, odds are you stumbled into it yourself. And he's got the ability to lead you out. You see, the nature of God is much more important than having the right words in a prayer. And yet I think in my life, many times, I try and formulate my prayers so that I say just the right way. And just in case he's not my friend, which he is my friend, and he is your friend, just in case he's not my friend, I'll be persistent about it. Because, you know, one thing I have done, even though I got into recovery from alcohol nearly 30 years ago, I'm still compulsive. And I will ask and ask and ask, and how many of you do the same thing? You ask for forgiveness for something you did wrong. Usually when I do that, really what I'm saying is, I'm upset that I did it wrong, but I really don't want the consequence to get me. But I know that if I come to God, that somehow, even if a consequence comes about as a result of the bad choice that I made, that God will be with me through that time of trial and he will not desert me. Lo, I'll be with you to the end of the age. You see, this scripture for me is more about the nature of God than anything else. It's not words that you can sort of say together and say in an incantation, like, I got it right, so therefore somehow. It's not that. It's where, no, I know the nature of God, and so if I know God, then I know he's going to be there. You know, I was talking to somebody earlier about this, and they said, you know, the problem is, I think that my attachment to my worries and anxieties is equal to the attachment of my prayers. The problem is I have a problem letting go. Well, why do you have a problem letting go if it's equal? I think it's Rather, that you haven't fully embraced that God is capable and willing to do those things that you ask of Him, to meet your needs, to walk you through the time of trial, to be there every step of the way, to forgive you for anything you've ever done. How many times have you ever asked for forgiveness, but to tell you the truth, you've been hanging on it for about 30 to 40, sometimes, and I know some of you people, are 50 years. Things that happened years ago that you just sort of, oh my God, is it ever going to come back to me? Can He really forgive me that? I've had that in my own life. Can He really forgive me for the things that I did in college? I'm this far now. College is a distance back, okay? But I still wonder sometimes, did He really forgive me for that? And yet, the more I understand the nature of God, the more I know I'm free within God. The more I understand the nature of God, the more I can let go. The more I understand the nature of God, the more it doesn't matter what words I say, it's rather that I connect in a conscious contact with Him. And that's what it's all about. You know, the Old Testament echoes that. You know, I love you. In fact, let me ask you a question. David, you can't raise your hand because you went to seminary. But how many of you know the story of Hosea? Anybody? You do know the story of Hosea. Don't butt in, okay? But the story of Hosea, which you just heard the first part of it in the first chapter, says basically, I mean, it's crazy, isn't it? I mean, God says to Hosea, I want you to take a wife of whoredom. And I want you to have children of whoredom. And if you listen to just that first part of the story, you think, what's God smoking now, okay? But if you listen to the rest of the story and you read the rest of the story in a Reader's Digest version of the story, you know what happens? And this is really kind of cool. This is the Old Testament, minor prophet in the Old Testament. It says that all of a sudden she has these kids. We heard about it. Most of those kids, their names even say, you know, you're not of my own seed, you're not of this, you're not of that. He lists all the kids. So in other words, Gomer, Hosea's wife, has a bunch of kids, but Hosea didn't father those kids. Why? Because she's a wife of whoredom and they're children of whoredom. But then sooner or later, Gomer, she says, I'm done with this. I'm out of here. She leaves all the kids behind with, guess who? Hosea. To take care of all these children that aren't even his. And she stays away. It tells a story basically of her going out and living that lifestyle over and over and over and over again. And she finally it comes to the end of the story. And in the end of the story is a picture of Hosea walking into a village. And as he goes in, there's a sale going on for slaves. And he looks up on the platform where they're selling slaves. And guess who he sees? Gomer. The wife of whoredom. And he sees Gomer up there. She's spent. I mean, she's spent. Now, what would you do in a case like that? Your spouse left you with all kids that aren't even yours. You've been a stand-up right guy, and you see all of a sudden, in a sense, your wife, your spouse, getting what, in some senses, from a human perspective, she deserves. What would you do? But what does it say that Hosea, who is the analogy for Jesus, what does he do? He bids on her and wins and buys her back. When she's off, he brings her home. It doesn't matter. I still love her. That's what God does with you and me. That's the kind of love that God has for you and me. God has a love for us that isn't just where it's perfunctory, where all of a sudden, you know, we say the right words and we get what we want. It's where all of a sudden He wants us to walk with Him. He wants us to talk to Him. He wants us to tell us that we are His own. That we go through the hardest times. And those are the times when He leads us probably to the best lessons, because I know me, I learn a lot more in the dark than I do in the light, you know. But it's where God all of a sudden says, I'm not giving up on you no matter what. I'm going to be there with you every step of the way in everything. So if I know that God that's going to be there with me every step of the way, and I know Him personally, and I know that He's real and He's true and He's forgiving, then why is it sometimes I'm more attached to my worries and anxieties than I am to my prayers? Why is it that I'm more attached to those things that lead me away from life than lead me into life? Why is it that I spend more time with those worries and anxieties than I do with handing them off? I told you a couple of minutes ago that there's a person who said to me, my prayers are equal to my anxieties. I just have a hard time letting go. And maybe what we ought to do is this. Just hand off. Just hand them off. You can still remember them, but don't participate in them anymore. You know, there's a difference between participating in your worries and anxieties and praying for your prayers and anxieties. When you participate in them, usually what you do is you formulate every option that could possibly go wrong or go right in your head, and you start saying, this is the way I got to go, this is the way I got to go, this is the way I got to go. And if any of you say, no, you don't do that, then to tell you, see me later, I'll tell you you're a liar. Because the truth of the matter is we all think that way, isn't it? We play it out and we work in our head. And how many people do you ever know is just, I wish I just quit thinking? Prayer is when you don't think. Prayer is when the Spirit of God moves within you and you hand off. And you might still think about them, but you no longer participate in those worries and anxieties. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. If he is our Father and we are his children and his name is holy, then guess what our name is? We're almost holy. And we're moving in that direction. As you come to the Eucharist this day, I pray that you encounter God in a new way, that you look to his nature more than the words that he tells you to say, that you look to trusting in his conscious contact of being with him and everything, and get out of your head and get into your heart. And then trust that God will and delights in meeting all your needs. But you got to trust that he'll meet them in the way that he sees that's best for you. And that you trust in him because he is a God who loves you, who just loves you just the way you are. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Please.